the good news is that he came to set you free. He came to proclaim liberty to the captives. This is a ministry of Jesus. I'm simply telling you that when the creator of the universe touches you, you're free. Immediately. Jesus came not just to save you for heaven. He came to set you free on this earth from every sin that can bind you.
Hey, everyone. It's good to see you. Welcome to all the campuses and everyone online. And I just want to say, I already had it in my notes, but before, I didn't even know we were going to show the video about Ukraine, but I already had it because I hadn't said it in a while as your pastor. Thank you for giving to Gateway Church, for giving to the kingdom, for blessing. And think about the elders of the church. As soon as the war started in Ukraine, we set aside $500,000. And then I stood up and just said, hey, we're already on the ground. We're already helping. If you want to be a part. And that's all I said, and another over $500,000 came in. And so you are so generous, and so I want to say thank you. Thank you very much. I also want to tell you that this week is Serve Week. If you don't know what Serve Week is, you can go to our website. It's on the front page. It's where we get involved in the community, where we can serve. And if you say, you know, it kind of snuck up on me, but I still want some more information, then go to the website and find out. We're in a series called The Ministries of Jesus. We did The Good Shepherd in January, talking about Jesus as our Good Shepherd. In February, Pastor Josh did a series, Oh, the Humanity, and talked about the humanity of Jesus. He and I were talking about this the other day. And then I did The Gifts of Jesus out of Ephesians 4. Now I'm doing The Ministries of Jesus. This summer, he'll be doing a series on the divinity of Jesus. So it's like we're talking to the same person here about, you know, what to do. And we're just kind of exploring this. So we're in Luke 4, but let me say something to you that I want you to be able to follow up on what the Lord's doing on the weekend in your heart. You remember a few weeks ago, we talked about emotional healing. He came to heal the brokenhearted. Last week, to set at liberty the captives, to proclaim liberty to the captives or freedom. So we did Kairos here for many years, and then we decided to go through it again, kind of make sure it's exactly what we want it to be, the best way to help people. And so we're beginning that again at every campus. This week, I think it'll be at the South Lake campus. But I want you to take advantage. It's a Greek word called Kairos. It's on the screen there, how to get to it. And it just means the appointed time, but it's just simply the name we took. It's the time for us to get free. And it helps us, it goes further in the ministry I talked about of healing the brokenhearted and setting at liberty those who are free, those who are bruised. So I want you to take advantage of that, all right? So if you want to explore this more, you can go to the website and find out more information. And it'll be at different times at different campuses. So we've talked about salvation. We've talked about, I called it mending or inner healing, emotional healing. We talked about freedom. This week is healing. And the next week will be anointing. These are the five foundational ministries of Jesus found in Luke 4. So look at Luke 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, their salvation. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, mending or emotional healing, to proclaim liberty to the captives, that would be freedom. And then this week, recovery of sight to the blind, or the gaining of sight is what this word recovery means, recovery of sight. So this week we're going to talk about physical and spiritual healing. And I can't talk about one without the other. And even physical healing would include mental healing. We have a lot of mental health issues that I want you to know that Jesus came to heal our mind, our soul, the way we think, our hurts. Jesus came, but he also came to heal us spiritually. So I'm going to talk about spiritual opening of eyes. I can't talk about simply the physical opening of eyes without talking about the spiritual opening of eyes. If you remember when we talked about the gifts of Jesus, the week I talked about the evangelist, I talked about how to share your story and just stick to your story. And we read the funniest chapter in the Bible, John 9, about the blind man that got healed and how he just stuck to his story. You know, he made clay, anointed my eyes, and I was healed. Okay, at the end of that chapter, though, the Pharisees said to him, because Jesus said, I've come in this to the world that those who think they can see will continue to be blind, in essence. Talking about religion. And I've come that those who can't see could have their eyes open. And the Pharisees said, are we blind also? And in the Greek, Jesus said, bingo. That's the Greek word, bingos in the Greek, okay? Bingo. But here's what he said in John 9. This is very, very important. John 9, 41. Jesus said to them, if you were blind, now watch this, you would have no sin. No sin. But now you say, or since you say we see, therefore your sin remains. Here's what he's saying. If you would come to me and admit that you're blind, and that you can't see without me, listen to this, you would have no sin. In other words, I would remove your sin as far as the east is from the west. You would have no more sin. If you just admit to me that you're not as smart as you think you are, that the creator of the universe might know some things you don't know. If you would just simply admit that you need a savior, that you're a human and you need the divine in your life. If you just admit that. But since you say we can see without you, and this is pretty strong, Jesus said your sin remains. It remains. Okay, so I just cannot talk about simply physical opening of eyes without talking about spiritual opening of eyes. And the Bible combines them in many, many places. It talks about, don't forget, the benefits of the Lord. It talks about who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases. I had so many scriptures that I just couldn't go over because of our time, you know, limit. But I want to show you a miracle where Jesus combines the spiritual opening of eyes with the physical opening of eyes. All right? It's in Mark chapter 8, beginning of verse 22. Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, I don't know why he spits on blind people. I don't know, but this is the second blind person that he spat on. All right? But anyway, when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, now watch this carefully, he asked him if he saw anything. So Jesus wants to know, what do you see? After putting his hands on him, all right? And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. In other words, what do you see now? And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Years ago, this is just to tell you how long ago it was. I was a traveling evangelist, so 30-something, almost 40 years ago, I guess. And I was I'd done a revival somewhere, and I was watching a preacher on television, and he read this passage. And after he read it, he said, you see, even with Jesus, it doesn't always work the first time. And I thought, the one who said, let there be light, it doesn't always work, you know? The one who holds the universe in the palm of his hand, it doesn't always, and I got so upset. This is how long ago it was. There was an ashtray, I don't think there are ashtrays in hotel rooms anymore. There was an ashtray. I felt like just throwing it through the TV. I'm just telling you how I was young then, and okay. So, but I didn't because I hadn't finished my cigarette. But anyway, I'm just joking. Please don't post that, all right? Okay, so the point was, I just thought to myself, that's crazy. That's just crazy. I remember even when we began on television, we've been on television 15 years now. I know I felt I was called to do it, but I remember thinking even then, where are the pastors teaching the Bible on TV instead of all these people saying, if you send me $10, you'll get $100 back? Where are the pastors just teaching the Bible on the TV, you know? And so anyway, I just thought, well, that's not right. I don't know what that means, but that's not right. And so I tried, and I went through Scripture, and I looked, and I pulled out a concordance. That's how long ago it was. No Bible program, no computer back then. And I did everything I could to figure this out. And it was about 3 hours. And it seemed like that the Lord just kind of slid up beside me. Now, obviously, he didn't, but that's what it seemed like. And I had this impression, you know, like the Lord was speaking to me, not audibly, but just had this impression. And it was like the Lord said to me, what are you doing? And I said, I'm trying to figure out what this means with no help from you, I might add. And he said, do you think I know what it means? And I was like, well, yeah, of course you know what it means. I mean, and it was, he just said, why don't you just ask me? Why don't you just ask me? And so I went like this, okay, what? And before I could say the word what, there was the answer, like that. Just like that. And I knew immediately what happened, which will take me 5 minutes to explain it to you, but I knew it immediately. Remember, he made him look up and he said, do you see anything? What do you see? And he said, I see men like trees walking. Okay, do you know what he did? He opened his spiritual eyes. Because when you read this book, which is a spiritual book, men are described as trees. All through this book. Let me show you just a few. I couldn't put them all in here, just a few. So look at Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Psalm 52, I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. Psalm 92:12, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Jeremiah 17, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by the water. Zechariah has a vision. And then I answered, said to him, what are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and its left? Verse 14, so he said, these are the two anointed ones. These are people who stand beside the Lord. And in Revelation 11, it confirms this. And verse 3, and I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees. These men that you see, they're trees. Zechariah saw trees. God said they were men. Jesus lays his hand on a blind man and says to him, now what do you see? He said, I see men like trees. He opened his spiritual eyes. Because since, I'm telling you, something happened to me at one point in my life when I would read about trees producing good fruit. When Jesus comes in Matthew 7, does the Sermon on the Mount, and he talks about a good tree produces good fruit, he's not talking about actual trees. He's talking about people. And something happened one day in my life where I started seeing people like trees. And here's this blind man. And so, now let me just say to you, what have I told you though about interpreting Scripture. Scripture is of no private interpretation, which means you don't interpret it, it interprets you. Another way, though, to understand scriptural interpretation is the Bible interprets itself. So, first of all, it has to agree with the whole of Scripture. So, this agrees with all through Scripture. I showed you several verses. But it also has to agree with the context of Scripture. So, we started in verse 22. What happened in Mark 8 right before this? Well, he fed the 4,000. Now, there's two feedings. There's a feeding of the 5,000 and a feeding of the 4,000. With the 5,000, he had five loaves. With the 4,000, he had seven loaves. But right before this, he feeds 4,000 people with seven loaves. And by the way, as soon as he finished, the Pharisee said, "Show us a sign." You're talking about spiritual blindness. Okay, but then, let me show you what happened right after he feeds the 4,000 and right before he touches the blind man and says, "What do you see?" And he said, "I see men like trees." Then he touched him again, and he said he saw, and then he saw everything clearly. He opened his spiritual eyes, then he opened his natural eyes, okay? So let me show what happened right before. Verse 13, and he left them, and getting into the boat, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." In other words, the teaching, not the actual bread, the words. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Beware of the words of the Pharisees and the words of Herod. Beware of it. And then watch verse 16. And they reasoned among themselves and saying, "He's mad because we don't have any bread." I told you we should have brought more bread. Okay, watch his answer. Verse 17, answer to him, his reaction. Verse 17, but Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "Why do you reason because you have no bread?" I mean, I just think he just got a little upset every now and then. "Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened?" Watch this. "Having eyes, do you not see?" What kind of eyes is he talking about here? Spiritual, right? "Having eyes, having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments did you take up?" And they said, 12. "Also, when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up?" "Seven." So he said to him, "How is it you still do not understand? How is it you don't understand what I'm talking about?" In other words, what he's saying is, "Guys, if I wanted bread, I'd just whip some up." Bread is not the problem. We got one loaf and 13 dudes. I can take care of the bread. Do you know why, though, you don't understand? You think I'm talking about literal bread? Because you have eyes, but you can't see. Because your spiritual eyes have not been opened. Now, let me just give you a little illustration here. This phrase, "you have eyes but you can't see," is all through the Bible. And it's a big deal to me, and I've preached on it many, many times, because I know when the Lord opened my spiritual eyes, and it was like I had a whole new book then, you know. But let me just give you a practical application. Women can see things that men can't see. I have this black shirt that has these snaps that fits me well. Now, that's hard to find. It's hard to find because I'm a very level person. My bubble is in the middle. I actually believe I just entered my third trimester, and the doctor said it could be twins, so I'm kind of excited. All right, so anyway, I've got this shirt, and when people say, "Boy, that looks good on you," I want it, so I've bought 180 of them now, so I love the shirt, but it has these snaps on it and all, and And so I only have two, really. And so anyway, but Debbie has my closet organized. Most of you know I'm colorblind. And it's horrible. When the church was really small, the ladies would go on a retreat. Instead of a pink impact, they'd do a retreat over the weekend. And so the ladies were gone, but Thomas's wife, Mary Beth, had to stay to be on the worship team. And I came on Saturday night. We had Saturday night and Sunday morning service. And I walked into the green room, and Mary Beth said, "Is Debbie out of town?" And I said, "Does this not work?" She said, "No." She said, "Thomas and I can come over afterward and pick something out for you." I thought it looked good, but I don't know. So Debbie has my closet organized, you know, like church jeans, you know, office jeans, work jeans, church shirts, office shirts, work shirts. You know, she's had it organized. So I know where these shirts are that I like. But I can't find them. And I look, and I can remember the first time it happened, I pull each one of them off because I don't want to tell her, because it's there. I know it's there, and I know I'm going to get in trouble. And so I looked at each one twice. And then I say to her, "Sugar." Now, she's not, I do these funny things. She's not mean, she's sweet, but I'm just, you know, letting you know. We do things to play with each other. So this was all in fun, but I said, "Sugar, I can't find my black shirt." This is what she does. She walks in, she goes like this, "It's right there." And then she said to me, "You have eyes, but you can't see." And when she walked out, I said something and it came out a little louder, and I said, "No, you a voodoo woman." So she turned around, she said, "What'd you say?" I said, "You love you, woman." But she can make things appear that aren't there. So that's what he's trying to tell them. You have eyes, but you can't see. Let me just ask you something. Jesus said, "I came for those who can't see so they can see." Would it be all right with you if you opened up this book and you could understand it? It's a spiritual book written by a spiritual being to spiritual beings. So many people think that we're humans having a spiritual experience. Actually, your spirit's having a human experience, because your body's going to die and your spirit's going to live on. So, God wants to heal spiritually, and that's very, very important. But he also heals naturally. But there are three ways that God heals naturally, and we overlook the first two many times. God heals three ways. He heals physically three ways. He heals naturally, medically, and miraculously. And we tend to always seem to look for the miraculous, and we need the miraculous, but you need to know that God designed your body to heal itself. It's a miracle. Just two ways. You have white blood cells that attack anything from an injury or an illness that would hurt you or harm you. God did that. You have platelets that cause your blood to clot so that every time you cut your finger, you don't bleed to death. I'd like us to get in the habit of giving God the credit for all that he deserves, and that is he gave us these bodies that fight off sickness and disease and illness, and we can get healed from injury. We could be healed naturally, medically. I'm tired of preachers putting down medical professionals who help us to be healed. They are instruments of God. They are vessels of God. And we should be praying for them. In the same way, we need professionals. In the same way, we need teachers to teach us. We need counselors in the area of mental health, things like that. We need construction people that know how to do stuff. It is known around my house. The kids say, please, Dad, don't try to fix something that breaks around the house. Please. A few years ago, the toilet handle broke in the guest bath. It was a few days before Thanksgiving. Debbie said, we're going to need the guest bath. You know, we're going to have all the family. Can you just look at it, you know? And what she meant was, can you call someone to fix it? And I saw it was just the handle. I thought, okay, I can fix this, you know? So I got the crescent wrench out, and I'm going to trying to loosen this bolt on the back. Now, I don't know if you know, but toilets are porcelain. And it seems like just a little touch and they'll break on you. I did something and this crack all the way down to the floor, and I flooded the bathroom. $700 to get the professional. Do you know what my motto is now? No job is too small to sub out. Let the professionals come in. It's the same with medicine. Listen, 4 years ago, I almost died. I was healed naturally, medically, and miraculously. I know people prayed for me, and I'm grateful for that. And I know God sustained me, but those paramedics kept me alive. The surgeon kept me alive. And then my own body had to heal from those two surgeries within 24 hours. I actually brought you a picture you've never seen. I debated on whether to show it or not. So some of you, if you don't like squeamish things, but I just thought I'd show you. These are the staples they put in my... Oh, isn't that great? Okay, take it down. I have a zipper right here now. If I ever need to get anything out, it just... No, I don't anymore. I just have a very slight scar. Here's the reason. Even when the doctors finished, my body had to work it. It had to do its work as well. Are y'all hearing me? My blood, when I left the hospital, only had 60% of my blood. Even though they'd given me all these transfusions, they wanted my own blood to rebuild itself so I would be healthier. You follow me? So God still heals, but he heals naturally. He heals medically, and heals supernaturally. Let me show you one about supernatural healing. Matthew 8, 16 and 17, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He bore our sicknesses. First Peter says he bore our sins. Now let me just answer a question. If Jesus bore our sicknesses, why do we still get sick? Well, let me answer it with a question. Did he bear your sins on the cross? Yes. But do you still sin? Yep, you're human. And we live in human bodies. I said this a few weeks ago. Jesus saved us from the penalty of sin immediately. He is saving us as we walk this life out through the from the power of sin, and he will one day save us from the presence of sin. Right now, we still have fallen bodies, and we still live in a fallen world. But one day, we're going to have a resurrected body, and there'll be no sickness. But that's coming. But does he still heal today? It's a very, very simple question to answer. Of course he does, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can't change. You can't build the doctrine that God changes. You can't say God is immutable in that he never changes and then say he doesn't heal anymore. Of course he heals. So not only does he heal naturally, but medically and miraculously. So let me give you an illustration of all three of those. So James and Bridget, my son and daughter-in-law, they had a son, their first son, and then she had two miscarriages, both about 6 weeks, and she didn't really even know she was pregnant, and it was because her progesterone was low. And then they had another son. God touched her, plus she began taking some medicine, and her body reacted to it so naturally. And then they were praying about whether to have another child because she had a very difficult second labor and pregnancy. And so we had a 21-day fast here at the church, and we do every January, and it's fast however God tells you to start the year that way, you know. So I'm sitting down here about to preach. I'm worshiping. Bridget was at that time was serving on the worship team. She's standing like right here on the worship team. I've got my eyes closed just worshiping, and I just open my eyes, and I look up, and I see Bridget, and the Lord says to me, Bridget's pregnant, just like that. Well, that night, we were having a family meal, kind of a breaking of the fast. So we had all of the adult, you know, sons and daughters. We have two sons, one daughter, then they're all married, and then the grandkids. And so at the meal, before we started, in essence, before we broke the fast, I said, I have an announcement to make. And they said, really? Because normally that means someone's pregnant in the family, but, you know, Debbie and I are like Abraham and Sarah. So anyway, they thought that's not, you know, that's must not be his announcement, you know. So they said, okay, what's your announcement? I said, Bridget's pregnant. And everyone kind of laughed, you know, but the look on Bridget's face, and James, my son, laughed. What we didn't find out until later was that Bridget had prayed that if they were supposed to have another child, she prayed that, would Lord, during the fast, would you let someone close to us give me a word? So this is right before we end the fast, and I say, Bridget's pregnant. And so James, my son, said, well, Dad, you know, thanks, and, you know, actually, she couldn't be pregnant. I mean, it's just impossible right now, you know, the cycle and things like that. Just she's not pregnant. And I said, well, the Lord says she is. And so in a little while they said, are you serious? I said, I'm just telling you what God said. God said, Bridget's pregnant. Those two words. And it was as clear as anything I've ever heard, Bridget's pregnant, like that. So they decide to go to the doctor because they say, well, your dad has this history of, you know, when he says it's that he's really heard the Lord, you know. So they go to the doctor, and the doctor said, you're not pregnant, and actually your progesterone is so low you could not even get pregnant right now. You couldn't even conceive. So if you're thinking about conceiving, you need to start get back on progesterone. So they said, okay, you know what, let's go ahead and start. And because your dad had this word, and it was pretty strong word, so let's just start. So she starts taking progesterone. The doctor says, come back in, you know, like 4 weeks, and we'll check your progesterone levels. She goes back. They check. The doctor comes in. The doctor says, you're pregnant. And so, you know, they have this way of figuring out how long, you know. So they did that, and they said, so how long has she been pregnant? He said, 4 weeks and 6 days. 4 weeks and 5 days before is when I told her, gave her the word, you're pregnant. She'd been pregnant one day. Here's what I'm telling you. That was miraculous, but we needed medical help, and then her body did what God designed it to do. And here's a picture, by the way, just a recent picture. We were fishing with them at our land outside the country. There's the two boys. They now have a little sister. By the way, I thought, just look at her face. I think she feels a little bad for the fish. But those little boys have a baby sister because the Lord heals naturally, medically, and miraculously. So every week, what we've been doing on the Ministries of Jesus is just praying and letting the Lord touch us. So maybe you want to pray for spiritual opened eyes today. Maybe you say, Lord, I want to be able to see things in your word I've never seen, and I want to be able to see what's going on around me. I want to know how to pray for my family, how to pray for my kids and my grandkids. I want to see in the spirit. And maybe that's what you want to pray for. But maybe you have a health challenge for you or for someone in your family, and you say, Lord, I want to pray for healing, naturally, medically, and miraculously. So I want you just to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you just to allow the Lord just to speak to you. We say every weekend, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me through this message? So just take a moment and just ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? In other words, I feel like we're saying, Lord, what should I ask you for today? I want you to open my eyes. Should I ask you for open eyes spiritually? Should I ask you for a healing? And you can ask for both. You can't ever exceed your limit with the Lord. He's limitless. He's boundless. So you can ask the Lord whatever comes to your mind. If there's healing for someone in your family, if there's something that maybe you have grown sons and daughters, or and you've got grandchildren, you're concerned about one of them, and you just say, Lord, I'd like to know how to pray. I'd like for you to open my spiritual eyes to be able to pray for my marriage, for my family, for my job situation, for my health situation. We just may need all of it. We need all that Jesus came to do. So I just want you to take a moment, and I'm going to give you just a few moments of silence to just ask Jesus to touch you today and to heal you. Whether it's a natural healing, a mental healing, emotional healing, a physical healing, a spiritual healing. Just ask the Lord to heal you. And you can ask him in the area that he speaks to you. Lord, we want to tell you that we are so grateful that you died on the cross for our sins. That the greatest gift of all is obviously the gift of salvation and eternal life through Jesus Christ. By grace, through faith, that we don't earn it, we just receive it. It's a gift. But Lord, I want to tell you also, thank you that you heal the brokenhearted. That you set us free, it says, from those bruises that we have, those hurts. Some of them going all the way back to our childhood. Lord, that you proclaim or you speak liberty or freedom over us in areas where we have difficulties and bondages. And Lord, we thank you, as we talked about this week, that you came for the recovery of sight for the blind. And we don't want to be like the Pharisees and act like we can see without you. Lord, we admit to you today we're blind spiritually without you. We need your help. And I pray today that you will open our eyes in the spirit realm, that we could see as we read your word the eternal that's going on around us, that we could see how to pray for our families, that we could see how the enemy's trying to come against us, and we could see how to walk and which way to go and where to live and what to do and all these decisions. Lord, we're asking for spiritual sight today. And I pray for my brothers and sisters that are going through a physical battle right now. Thank you that the marvelous way you made our bodies. Thank you for the wonderful medical professionals you've given us. Lead us to the right ones if we're going through something where we need medical help. But Lord, I also want to pray for miraculous healing today. We want to ask you to do miracles. Lord, to touch those areas that our body doesn't have the strength to fight anymore, and medicine might even be at the end of its rope. Lord, will you heal today? and we receive healing, spiritual and physical, the same way that we receive the forgiveness of sins and salvation. We receive it by grace through faith. We don't deserve it, but we receive it because you're such a good God and we believe it. So Jesus, thank you for healing us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's just thank the Lord.
Amen, amen. You can stand up as we close the service. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come forward. I know many of your lives today, God is already working, and we want to give you an opportunity to continue to respond in prayer. Maybe you still want someone to agree with you for healing or breakthrough or sight to see, or maybe you're facing a medical issue and you need wisdom on what to do and what doctor to go to. We want to pray for you no matter what your need is. And so if you have a need today, you can go ahead and step out of your seat, come down front. We've got prayer team up front. If you're in the balcony, we also have prayer team members by the exits. For those of you online, if you've got a prayer request, you can text CONNECT to 71010. We've got a team. We'd love to pray for you. So no matter what your need, whether you want to respond to the message today, or maybe you're here and there's a financial issue you have or a relationship issue that you need prayer for, that you need guidance, whatever it is, we want to join our faith with yours. We want to stand and believe for breakthrough. So go ahead and step out of your seat and come down for prayer. A few quick things to let you know about before you dismiss. As Pastor Robert mentioned earlier, we do have Serve Week this week where we're connecting with ministries throughout this area and throughout the week. So there's opportunities through the week and the weekend, and even in our community night on Wednesday night, we're going to be doing some things. And so our outreach team is actually out in the lobby, and so you can stop by and you can get information and register for an outreach, or you can also go to gatewaypeople.com/serveweek. And then for our men in the house, we were going to have our men's breakfast this morning, but we had a scheduling issue, so we're actually having it this next Saturday. So May 21st is our men's breakfast here at the Southlake campus from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. We're going to have some amazing breakfast tacos. Come on, I know you don't want to miss that. So come and join us this Saturday for that. It's going to be amazing. And then lastly, if you're new here to Gateway Church, or you've got any questions about how to get connected into a small group, an equip class, how to start serving, we've got an area across from the gateway, from the cafe, called Connect Central. We've got pastors and leaders in there. We'd love to get to meet you and answer any questions that you have. Let me pray for you, and then you can be dismissed. Lord, we thank you so much for what you did in our life today through this service. Lord, we thank you that you are a God that heals, God. Lord, naturally, medically, and supernaturally, Lord, I ask for your healing power to be released in this room through everyone watching online. Lord, I speak your blessing and your favor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You can continue to come down for prayer. Have a blessed week.